Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president.
What?
Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sports City Chefs football free-for-all show. I am James Greenwood, and with me, as always, is Rodri Jones. Rodri, how are you today?
How's it going, James? I'm checking in from across the pond. I know, like, this rap thing is this song is, like, getting catchy, man. It's like I got it kind of downloaded and things like that, and I was starting to really get in my mind. I'm enjoying it. Good to be back in the kitchen cooking some stuff up with you again, bro. Let's get into it.
Sure. So I guess the first thing that I think is on the tip of everybody's mind is what's going on with Michael Thomas. Some quick tweets that came out talking about respect, stuff like that. The rumors are going around that he's demanding a trade. What are your thoughts on that whole situation, and kind of expand on it as well?
Yeah, you know, last year, right? Remember, I think it was in like a practice, he punched. There was like a fight going on with Gardner, CG Gardner. Him and the boys, you know, they all got into a bit of a scrap. I think it comes from there. Basically, Michael Thomas didn't speak. You know, he had his injury problems last year. The New Orleans Saints wanted him to have an operation, right? He didn't want to have the operation. He wanted a second opinion. He had a second opinion. But it was like, it's his body. He can do what he wants to do, right? So he just ignored the New Orleans Saints all off season for 3 months. 3 months, no phone calls, nothing. And everybody's trying to get in touch with him. They're saying, like, I don't know if he texted. I don't know. It's a situation that's just opening up now. And it's going to get messy. So we're going to find out a lot more about it, James. But as far as I can see, Sean Payton's mad. Michael Thomas is mad. Don't really know what's going to happen there. I mean, to me, he's probably the best player. They got him and Alvin Kamara now. And Ramchick as well. Maybe Armstead as well. A couple of them. Cameron, Jordan. A couple of good players. They got some. But Lattimore as well. They got to look after those guys if they're going to have any chance this year, I think, with Jameis Winston. So, to me, look after Michael Thomas. Keep him there. Whatever he needs, just give it to him. I mean, if he doesn't want to have surgery, let him do what he wants. But you know what? You know what Sean Payton's like? He's a hothead. He got everything his way. There's nobody bigger than the team. But to not answer your phone for 3 months, I mean, if anybody else does that in any other industry or any other business, no, they lose their job, right? So it's one of those situations. We're going to see what happens. But it's something's cooking in New Orleans, and it's not gumbo this time.
Yeah, see, I think this could be a lot to do about nothing. Really, the Saints can't really afford to get rid of Michael Thomas right now. A tweet from Bill Barnwell laid it out pretty even. The Saints would have to eat $32.6 million in dead cap over the next 2 years, $8.9 million this season and $22.7 next season in order to trade Michael Thomas to anybody this offseason. So the numbers just don't work out. Like, the amount of cost that would...
I'm not saying that about a trade. I'm just talking about the problem, you know. That doesn't really negate the problem, or does it? I mean, if there's an issue there and he doesn't want to answer his phone, then that's what I'm talking about, you know. I know about a trade, and I'm leaving town. It's just a bit of a problem.
Yeah, ultimately, it doesn't matter what Michael Thomas wants. I mean, he can hold out, but it eats all of his money. Like, this is one of the big things in the collective bargaining agreement. Once you sign that contract, you don't really have a leg to stand on anymore. Yes, the players got a lot of money out of the deal, but the one thing they did get is the ability to take a large portion of the signing bonus if they decide to sit out into the season. So it's not like this is something that that is
a Le'Veon Bell
situation. It's not in anybody's best interest for Michael Thomas to sit out. So if the Saints wanted to play hardball, then they would play hardball, and they will play hardball. It's not a question. So if Michael Thomas wants to play football this season, it's going to be on the Saints. Now, don't get me wrong. If everything that is said is true, like them convincing him not to have surgery so he can play one last year with Drew Brees, yada, 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 then that's bad on the organization. But at the end of the day, I'm talking from a pragmatic standpoint, there's not anything that Michael Thomas can really do other than retire. But he's 28 years old. Even if he sits out like a whole season, that still places him in a bad position on that as well. Like, because he'll be wasting the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years of his prime to have a fight with the Saints. It's not worth it to him in that front either.
The worst thing was, though, right, he voted in a thing that they've all come out against him, right, and they've said a lot of bad things about him, and he's saying, like, look, I got a lot of information on you guys. If I want to spill the beans, I can make this really look bad from my point of view towards you. I can make the Saints look really bad, and I believe that. I believe there's something there, you know. I mean, you look at what Trent Williams went through at Washington, right, and how the doctors handled him there. I think there's something similar going on here. I mean, you can only force a player too far. This is, I can listen to Calvin Johnson on the weekend. This is, you know, there's a big can of worms here that can be opened. You just look at that. That's just one player. You look at players in the league now who've been misdiagnosed, right? Who've been, you know, completely misdealt with by their organizations, by their doctors. I'm thinking this could open a can of worms with that. That's what I'm thinking, James. That's why I brought that for. This is why I think it can get a lot worse before it gets better. Do you know what I mean? That's the reason I brought up. But yeah, you're right. I mean, let's look at it. He's probably the best receiver in the league. He hasn't got his quarterback anymore because he went out of town. I think there's a good chance though.
And that might be another reason why he wants out of New Orleans. I mean, not, I would hate to be the cynical, but like, he sees what's in his cupboard. You know, he sees Taysom Hill, who can't hit the broadside of a barn, and he sees Jameis Winston, who had LASIK surgery in hopes that he can hit the broadside of a barn. So,
30 for 30.
So it's tough for him to go from Drew Brees to that. Like, even Teddy Bridgewater was all right because he could hit the quick slant route that Michael Thomas is famous for, but
he can hit the cows in the barn. Yeah, like we love Teddy Bridgewater. We're the big Teddy Bridgewater show. I mean, I think we
am the Teddy Bridgewater guy. It would not be a show. This show would not be complete without at least one mention. And we're going to the NFC North, so it's kind of hard.
Every episode, yeah.
Every show.
Got to be done.
It's got to be done. It's just, but the Hall of Fame inductees were enshrined last night. So I'm going to start with kind of a hot take from me. I don't watch the enshrinement ceremonies. I love football. It's my favorite sport. It's my only sport. Like, I don't watch any other sport. The history of the game, like, a lot of these guys were around when I was just budding into being like an NFL draft nerd and whatnot. So a lot of these guys, I watched a lot of these guys for their entire careers. But at the end of the day, like, their personal stories mean something, but not to the point where I'm going to watch, you know, 2 hours of Hall of Fame speeches. Like, you know, the super famous players, you know, I watched Calvin because he was a Lion. He was the reason I stayed a Lions fan for as long as I did. And then I watched Peyton because he's like the face of that generation of NFL football. But other than that, like, I watched a little bit of Troy Polamalu's speech, which was really good, I thought. But outside of that, it doesn't really hit me the same way as it does other people. But what are your thoughts on that? What do you think about, watch the Hall of Fame speeches?
I'm just a complete big massive emotional jerk when it comes to stuff like this. You know what I mean? I really feed off it, to be honest. So I look at it to sort of help my life a bit. Like, help me out, you know, guys. Come on, I want to be inspired. So I don't know, but like you said, we grew up in that sort of this era now with John Lynch and Peyton Manning. Those guys, Troy Polamalu, those guys inspired me so much watching the game, you know, watching the game, helping me do more in my life, go for what I want to go for in my life. So to me, it's like they've done a bit for me. Charles Woodson was great last night at the end. I watched Charles Woodson's last game in Oakland, and it was like anybody who's ever come out to support me and that are coming in the hall with me. So technically, I'm in the Hall of Fame, if that's the case. Because I went from Wales to Oakland to watch Charles Woodson in his last game, and he said anybody, you know, who's come out and done stuff and who's followed me, said it, stand up, said you're coming in the hall with me. So this is Rodri Jones Hall of Famer from now on, okay? Just for you guys to know. But in all seriousness, it's crazy, right? Me and TP, the Sports City Chefs head honcho, we was in Detroit, right? And we was handing out Sports City Chefs cards. And players, Jason Hansen was walking past, and Damagan Sue was walking past. The only guy to stop, take a card off us, look back at us, put the thumbs up, was Calvin Johnson, was Megatron. TP had his jersey on, TP's Megatron, crazy, right? And it's like, he was that kind of guy, do you know what I mean, to just stop, give us 2 minutes, take our card, and take it into the Lions. You know, Gunther Kunder was walking past, Jim Schwartz, everybody stopped to talk to us, don't get me wrong, and they were great, but Megatron, give us the time of day, looked at what we were doing, realized what we were doing there, took the card off us, took it into the lobby of the hotel they were staying in downtown, and it was just fantastic, you know. We watched them the next day, and I was just thinking, look what he done for us yesterday, you know. That's something that's unbelievable, but that's what Megatron's like. I'm listening to his speech on the weekend, just totally backed that up for me. I mean, to know the pain that he played in, James, as well, right? He was taking... I played rugby, right? And I've been in a lot of pain, broke my back, done a lot of stuff. I took anything to play, right? He done exactly the same thing. And it's like, I can relate to that. Like, he's playing through so much pain that he's putting anything in his body just to stay on the field. And people thinking like, oh, no, it's the Lions losing. That's why he was retiring. It wasn't. He was just... The guy was just spent physically. And, it, you know, with opioids... When you take a lot of opioid painkillers, it does affect the mind. I know this is a massive deal. I'm something we'll hopefully tackle as well on this podcast, but in the future. But I mean, the opioid pandemic is something crazy. And Calvin Johnson in his speech mentioned that he's tackling that. And I think that's, of all the speeches, he's, you know, is with something that they're going to help people, you know. It can help everyday kind of people. Because everybody's... This opioid thing's terrible, you know, and there's other ways around. Don't take the pill. There's other ways around it. If you can avoid it, do it, because it's that serious, and it's a massive issue in the UK, in Europe, everywhere in the world, and it's getting worse. So we need help there. But, you know, on the whole, John Lynch, watching those Bucks teams, friends of Chidi Honatu, saying, you know, he's going out to the party, the after party and stuff like that, and just to be that close to it and see what's going on. You know, watching that defense, it was special. You know, it just gripped me, sort of got me involved in the game, started to love football for what it was, started to see that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense and fell in love with the game, watching those guys, watching John Lynch. To think that he was a base, you know, he was drafted in the second round in the MLB, you know, as a pitcher. And it's like quarterback. He said Bill Walsh was the guy that got him, you know, to play safety. And watching watching a video of Ronnie Lott, five plays, and John Lynch and Ronnie Lott looked pretty much the same. And Herman Edwards took him under his wing, Tony Dungy, Monty Kiffin, the guys, and just the depth of the stories is that kind of depth, but they're not going to go too far into it because we've got other things to talk about. But just if anybody is listening right now, go and listen to them. Take them in. If you come up in this era of these players that got enshrined over the weekend from last year and this year, if you grew up in that era, I just suggest to watch them and just try and be inspired. You aren't going to try. Just listen, and you'll be inspired. Adam Faneca, fantastic. Everybody was just top class. With Troy Polamalu again, just class was personified again. And emotional, really emotional and great to see.
All right, with that said, I think it's about time we moved on to the NFC North, the star of the show. We have got two more, I believe, divisions to go through after this. The NFC and AFC Western divisions will wrap up our off-season reviews just in time for the regular season to start back up. And I say we start in alphabetical order with the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears came into the offseason with one definitive goal in mind, which was to find themselves a quarterback so that they could move from the bottom of the barrel of the league to a legitimate long-term playoff team. And they did so both in free agency and in the draft, obviously drafting Justin Fields at number 11, and also going out and signing Andy Dalton in the free agency period was the two. They grabbed them both, and they're going to let them duke it out in training camp. I have a feeling that the season's going to start with Andy Dalton at the helm, and then probably a few weeks later, maybe out by their bye week, we might start seeing the transition to Justin Fields. Aside from that, one of the big things that I noticed that they lost through the free agency period was in the cornerback position. They lost Buster Skrine, who was pretty good in the slot position. They lost Kyle Fuller as well, who was one of their starting corners, and then Tashaun Gibson also left as their safety. Artie Burns also one of the secondary, but not as important, I would guess. And also lost Perkivious Mingo as the outside linebacker position. Plus, obviously, Mitch Trubisky and Bobby Massey are also major losses. But they did go out and sign Desmond Trufant, who had kind of a lackluster performance in Detroit, so we'll see if he can recreate himself in Chicago with the Bears. Is there anybody, before we get a little deeper into the draft, is there anybody that I may have forgotten about in your mind there, Rodri?
That they've brought in, you mean?
What are the big takeaways that you have from the Chicago Bears and their kind of off season, overarching storyline?
Other than want to get the hell out of Chicago, which was probably the biggest thing I thought was a bit crazy. They want to do a San Francisco and go and play down the road, you know. And George Halas would be spinning his grave if that happened. I think, you know, they want to bring a big casino in and and do all that and change the stadium up again, which looks like a, you know, which looks like a big spaceship landed in the middle of Chicago as it is. So I don't know what's going on by there, but yeah, to be honest, I thought they'd done really well in the draft. You look at what they're trying to do, James, I think what they've done for me, bringing in Jesse James, and they still got Jimmy Graham now and Cole Kmet. It's going to be a massive year for Montgomery, David Montgomery. I think they're going to lean on him a lot this year. I think they need help. They need to help quarterback, whoever it is, whether it's Andy Dalton, which I think was a great signing, by the way. I'm not going to knock Andy Dalton. They got Nick Foles and Justin Fields now. I think Andy Dalton, right? Dallas didn't know what to use him last year. They didn't use him tidy. Dallas was a mess. The offensive line was a mess. I just think he can play ball. He can win games, right? He can move the ball down the field. He's something the Bears haven't had, even though they've had Mitch, and Mitch hasn't been that good. But I think they can get some out of Andy Dalton. Whether the Colts try and trade now for St. Nick, I don't know if that's going to happen. But Justin Fields, obviously, I think Justin Fields needs to just sit this season. Look, Bill Lazor, offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy, they'll have their offense running, right? They'll be doing something. So I expect that. Juan Casillo, the offensive line, this is my take of it, James. They want continuity on our offensive line. They haven't brought in a lot of new bodies. They've just kept it the way it is for a while, and I think that's going to pay dividends this year. Bringing in a rookie like Tevin Jenkins was a good move, but they're going to get the best out of that line, I think, this year now. Cody White here at center, I think, has been one of their stronger players. Between him and Akeem Hicks on the defense, I think he's such a solid player on defense, Akeem Hicks. When he's on the field, they're a different team. Alex Mack, again, just, you know what he can do, and we know that defense is strong, but they need those guys. They need Roquan Smith. They need Mack. They need Hicks for them to be successful. But, yeah, just at the tight end position is interesting to me, and to see what they're doing with the run game. You know, they want to run the ball. Alan Robinson's back. Darnell Mooney had a decent rookie year. He's going to be interesting to see going into year two. They brought in the likes of Daz Newsome, as we know, for the draft now. But, yeah, so just interesting to see what they're doing with those tight ends and, you know, what they're going to be looking to get out of a David Montgomery. Why things going to have a huge year. I think David Montgomery's their key player on offense. And then defensively then, you know, guys like Robert Quinn turning up, playing well. Mack is Mack and, you know, Roquan Smith. You mentioned they lost a few corners. They did. Bit of an issue there for me. But Gibson is great at safety, and you know Eddie Jackson has been great at safety. What they really need is that one shutdown, I think. And I think Jalen Johnson is a guy that can do that for them. I think drafting him last year to Utah, I think he can be a good player for them. And you know, like you said, Desmond Trufant is big. Year 9 he's in now, so he needs to play well. Kendall Vildor is another player they drafted last year late. I'm looking to get something out of. But other than that, it's going to come down to their offense for me. But
It's interesting that you mentioned Darnell Mooney and Daz Newsome, because a lot of people were making kind of a big deal that they decided to make the trade of Anthony Miller in the offseason. But I honestly think that Mooney will jump leaps and bounds. A lot of talk out of training camp coming from for Darnell Mooney and how well he's performing in training camp, and to the point where a lot of people are considering him like a sneaky solid fantasy football option. As far as wide receivers go, could be kind of a late round Hail Mary pick that could really pay off dividends. And Daz Newsome is probably going to take that Anthony Miller role as kind of like that slot kind of third wide receiver guy as well. So I don't think they lost much by losing Anthony Miller. And as you said, Tevin Jenkins is definitely going to be a great replacement for Bob Massie as well.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head with the receiving core there. You know, you've got Riley Ridley as well, who can play. You got Marcus Goodwin, who's as quick as anybody. Even though he's 30 now, he's still a body. He's still somebody that can come in and do well, and Damir Bird as well. You know, those guys. But Darnell Mooney, like, even last year, at times during games, some of the plays he was making, this kid can play. And I think that was like common knowledge last year. Obviously, a lot of people, like you said, I've read it as well, James. I read a lot of people, why you're getting rid of Anthony Miller. You know, we haven't got no receivers. But Darnell Mooney can play. Darnell Mooney's a guy I definitely pick up in the fantasy draft if I'm playing the fantasy football this year. But and then you've got Allen Robinson. If he's healthy, then he's as good as anybody in the league, right? So I agree with him completely. I don't think there's an issue there. But like Cole Kmet and Jesse James, what they can do in the run game, and Jimmy Graham's still there, but what those two, James and Kmet, is going to do in the run game, to me, is what's going to be key for the Bears. And offensive line, we know that's always the issue. I got friends who are Bears fans, right? And my one buddy Lee, that's what he says, is like, the offensive line, you have nightmares about it. Like, you just sort of like go crazy about it after every game. They should be doing this or that. It's funny. But they got, you know, James Daniels. Let's get the best out of him. You know, he's an Iowa player. We need him. We need white hair. They got this player, this Gage Cervenka out of Clemson. I remember him in college. He's wrestling. If you go and Google Gage Cervenka, right, anybody listening, Google his wrestling background. It reminds me of Dan Neal, because Dan Neal of the Patriots, he was a great wrestler. And some great guards have been great wrestlers. He's on that level. If they can get him to play, if Castillo can get him to sort of buy in and play well, he can be a surprise. Nobody's mentioned that, because Gage Cervenka, he played at Clemson. You know, he was sort of in and out there, even though he was a good player there. You know, nobody's expecting him to be an NFL starter, so that's definitely one to look out for. But that's really all I got to say about that offense, really. For the offense is what it's going to be, because we know they can play.
And I'm going to turn around and go straight to you with the second team, and I'll let you start out with them. That's the Detroit Lions. Obviously, seventh worst team, I guess, by record, at 5-11, got rid of the entire coaching staff. Why don't you give us a little give us some thoughts on the Detroit Lions?
Well, you know, what more can I say? We you're looking at Motor City Dan Campbell, the Motor City Dan Campbell era. I mean, he's coming in, he wants people to bite kneecaps off. The mentality of the guy, he needs to change, like they've done in Jacksonville. He needs to change what it's all about. But, you know, we've seen this before with Jim Schwartz, Martin Mayo, Sheila Hemphill now, right? What is that? What they've done this time, James, which I think is brilliant, right? This is why I really like what they've done. They've involved former players. They've involved Chris Spielman, Barry Sanders. They've involved players, right? Players who've won at the highest level. Players that understand what is how to win in the NFL. And I love that they've done that, finally. They've involved the greats, right? So you got, like, he's a special assistant to the chairman, Chris Spielman. So he's in people's ears. He's telling people what to do. They know how to win. They know what winning football is like. And physicality, to me, is the main aspect of NFL football. You've got to be physical on the field. Dan Campbell understands that. Dan Campbell's the type of person that can bring that out to people. And I think, you know, having a guy like John Dorsey there as well, you know, is a great move. I love John Dorsey as a GM. So he's there now as a executive somewhere in the front office. You know, Rod Wood as a team president. So, you know, it's just great that they've got these people there to actually talk to, you know, talk to the coach, talk to the front office, be that link between Sheila Ford-Hemp and the family and the team. So Dan Campbell brought in the staff. which is just pretty much former players, right? So you've got Deuce Staley with the running back. You've got Anthony Lynn, right, the offensive coordinator, comes in from the Chargers, a Chargers coach, played for the Broncos. Look what they can do for DeAndre Swift now, think of that, get that going. Mark Brunell's got the quarterbacks. Antoine Randall-El's with the wide receivers. Hank Fraley is on the offensive line. These guys are all playing in the NFL. We know these guys are players, you know, as players. And then Aaron Glenn, then, is a defensive coordinator. Todd Walsh, defensive line. You know, so it goes there, and they've got, like, Dom Capers there. You know, they got the people there for them to guide the team to win. Now, this is where the problem comes, James, is actually winning games. And you lose Matthew Stafford. I think it's just time. I think it was just time for Matthew Stafford to leave. As good as he is, right, and as good as I think he's going to be in LA with the Rams, I just think it was time. I just think it was time for him to get out of town. Timeless, I think we'll agree. He was just sick of just seeing him getting beat up all the time, just lying on the floor. You know, to me, Frank Ragnow, Penny Sewell, these are the guys now who's got to set the tone. These are the guys who've got to show what Detroit football is all about. They've got to embody the city, and they've got to put it on the field. We need Jeff Okuda to be their first-round pick from last year. They're going to need Trey Flowers to get sacks. Do you know what I mean? They're going to need Deshaun Hunt and John Pennicini to stop the run and to be those players they want. And they think there's a chance. You know, everybody's got a chance. Jamie Collins, they're going to need leadership from. They need Decker to protect Jared Goff's blind side. They need Jared Goff to have that chip on his shoulder, which I think he's going to have. But DeAndre Swift, I think, is going to be a great running back. I'm running behind Penny Sewell, Taylor Decker. You know, it's this. I'm excited for the Lions. But if you're gonna listen to anybody talk and be excited for a team, it's Dan Campbell. I've watched so many interviews with him already, and I'm just bought and sold on the Lions. Frank Ragnow, I think, is gonna be just a dominant center. I think if they can win in the trenches, which I think they can, I think Dan Campbell's gonna have him doing it. I think they're gonna shock a lot of people this year. But obviously, easier said than done, and we're gonna see what happens, right?
Yeah, this is a team that that I don't think anybody should expect to win early on. There's a reason why Dan Campbell required a six year contract, right? It's because this is the first time that the Detroit, in my recent memory, where the Detroit Lions actually decided, hey, we're going to blow it all up. We are going to build again in the image of our new general manager. They gave him carte blanche to sell what pieces could be sold. They followed the Cleveland Browns strategy of selling whatever viable pieces you had that were not a part of your future. And that was Matthew Stafford. That was a few other guys that they weren't able to necessarily trade, but were willing to get rid of. Guys like Kenny Golladay, guys like Kerryon Johnson, guys like Danny Amendola, who had been around forever, Marvin Jones, Desmond Trufant, all these guys who Justin Coleman. These were all guys that were big-time hires from the previous regime. And by big-time hires, I mean they spent a lot of money on them and decided to get rid of them. And the biggest things I think about when we're talking about this team is basically the entirety of the passing offense. They got rid of Matthew Stafford and brought in Jared Goff. Jared Goff, I find to be very interesting. I don't think he's better than Matthew Stafford, but I think in certain play types and certain situations, Jared Goff has a reasonable starter skill set. Like, he's not very good at play action passes. He doesn't appear to get out of that turn very fast. But when he drops straight back and has a clean pocket, he is as accurate as any football player on the field. But then they let go of all of their major wide receivers. Marvin Jones gone. Kevin Gulley's gone. Danny Amendola's gone. That's like 90% of their pass catches that weren't from TJ Hockenson are out on this team right now. So now there's a big question mark there. You know, Rashard Perryman came in, who played okay with Miami. Tyrell Williams, who played a little bit with the Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown, who came in, I believe, from USC for a fourth round pick. It's wide open, but it's not wide open in the way that you would like. Like, the Titans have a wide open wide receiver one competition between Julio Jones and AJ Brown. The Detroit Lions have a wide open wide receiver one competition between Rashard Perriman and Amon-Ra St. Brown, a fourth round draft selection. So it's a very different things. Penei Sewell was the head of the draft class, but one guy I do want to mention as far as who has been impressing in camp is Alan McNeil, the defensive tackle that they got in day three. People were expecting him to be very simply it was late day two, I'm sorry, from NC State. He was considered mostly a run-stuffing guy that would be brought in on third and short situations, kind of rotational guy, but he's actually shown some ability to throw some pass rushing moves as well during camp. So a lot of people are kind of impressed about Alan McNeil from NC State as to what it is that he could contribute to the team in year one. Then also, obviously, Penei Sewell has been quite the beast at his left tackle position as well. Anything else you want to add about the Detroit Lions before we move on?
Michael Brockers, Levi Onwuzurike, I think is going to be a decent find for them as another rookie. I mean, Okwara, the Okwara boys, they got them together now, Romeo and Julian. So that's good. I think both the Notre Dame boys, I mean, those two there can bring some chemistry. And then, you know, just the likes of Charles Harris is there, Trey Flowers. I just think that offense, that defensive line, they got people there that can get a job done. Just get it done, though, because it's going to be vital for them this season. Like, I know you're saying they give him a six-year contract, but look, you can turn an NFL team round in two seasons. I mean, Miami has showed it. Cleveland has shown it. What Stefanski's done in Cleveland, I think now we've just shown the whole league. Like, look, you know, for me, the Browns are up there now. They're like second or third in the AFC now, as far as I'm concerned, behind the Chiefs. So it's like, learn from that. The NFC is a completely different beast, I know, but it's like, it can happen in the NFL. That's how quick it can turn around, because, you know, it does happen. I like Joaquin Boyd, rookie running back out of Arkansas. I'm glad they got him on the roster. I think he's going to be a lovely changer from DeAndre Swift. But DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, they brought in from Green Bay. Those three can really do some damage, and I think they're going to get a block in to do it as well. TJ Hockenson is the man. I mean, TJ Hockenson, kind of one of those flying under the radar tight ends all the time, even though he's just really performing well. Out of Iowa, again, just a good blocker, good receiver, good all-round tight end. Really like him. But like you said, receivers, right? Amon-Ra St. Brown, Equanimeous St. Brown plays for the Green Bay Packers. So they're going to have a St. Brown type of bowl when the Packers play the Lions. And then the Surratts, both of the Surratts brothers in the AFC North as well, Sage Surratt, and then the other one's in Minnesota or something like that. So there's like the brotherhoods and the family ties that are running thick in the AFC North, which is interesting. But look, James, we've covered this for years. The Detroit Lions have always been the Detroit Lions. They got that Thanksgiving Day game, and every time I watch that, they've never really been in the battle for the playoffs. You know what I mean? It's kind of, the season's kind of over by the time we get this. There's nothing to really be that excited about. I want them to get back to where, I want them to be in a position where they can compete when the game comes down to that day. This is a great day, and I enjoy watching watching football that day, and I love the city of Detroit, and I think it deserves a champion. We've seen them go through hell, you know. We've witnessed it, all of us. You know, you are not even a fan of them anymore because of how bad it's been. That's everything. Tommy Kramer, they got there now at the Notre Dame. Logan Steinberg, Taylor Decker, they got the tough guys. You know, I mean, Jonah Jackson, they got the big guys up front. Let's Terrell Crosby, come on. Let's just bowl some people over. Let's get them running the ball. And receivers, you know, I don't know who's going to step up, but somebody's going to have to. And again, you know, you look at Jared Goff coming from the Rams, right? That obviously wasn't a fit. Sean McVay, he's a certain type of coach. He's a certain type of offensive mind. Just because of that trade happened doesn't necessarily mean, I know a lot of people are thinking, Matthew Stafford is much better than Jared Goff because of that. You've done something really well by saying that, look, there's things Goff can do that might be a little bit better than Matthew Stafford, and I think there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, he's younger for a start. He's not as beat up. It's like he comes out of college. He's supposed to be this superstar. He got put in a massive market. This thing, I think he needed that chip on his shoulder. This could be the best thing that can happen to Jared Goff if he handles it correctly. And I think I'm excited for him. I am, honestly. But I'm excited for Matthew Stafford as well. I think both of them could be really good. I mean, I think they're both in great situations. So that's going to be interesting to see. But yeah,
I'm going to hold your feet to the fire here a little bit, Rodri. Do you think it is now August of 2021? In August of 2023, do you think that Jared Goff is still in the Lions and still the star of that football team?
It's a good question. I do think, yes, I do. I do. And do you know why? I think there's a Mark Brunell, for one. I think Mark Brunell is a great human being, and I think he's going to be an amazing coach. The only thing by saying, I think Mark Brunell can go up the coaching ladder. You know what I mean? He can be an offensive coordinator and head coach. I think he's that type of person. I've seen Mark Brunell talk in front of people, and like, I know for a fact that people will follow him. You know what I mean? He's that type of person. I think he's going to be great for Jared Goff. I think he can do a job for David Blough as well. And Tim Boyle, I think they're all going to benefit from him. But I think he's perfect for Jared Goff right now at this point in his career. And I think Jared Goff is going to feed off him and Dan Campbell. And I think if they can get some receivers for him, I don't think it's going to matter. I mean, he's going to hit these guys. Anyway, Amon-Ra, Terrell Williams can play. I know, you know, Victor Bolden, Quintez Cephas, these guys are going to come out of nowhere now, you know what I mean? And get some catches. Khalif Raymond coming in from Tennessee. Somebody's going to turn up to be a star out of these lot, and Jared Goff can make that happen for him. I am worried about Jared Goff, to be honest, James. I think he's going to be fine. And I do, yeah, I think he's going to be starting there. I think he's going to start like having a Matthew Stafford type of era there. He's 26 years of age. You know what I mean? He's got 10 years in this league. If they can keep him upright and healthy, and I think he can have a nice little career if they can support him. And I think bringing in Penny Sewell shows that intention. They got a center. They got two tackles. They got some guards for him. I think he's going to be all right. Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. But I think he's going to be there in 2023, and I think they're going to be okay.
And you've mentioned them a couple of times. The one thing that the Detroit Lions do have right now, when you're talking about the old school way of building from the inside out, is they probably do have an above average offensive line right now. I would say, they may even be in the top 10 to 12 offensive lines currently in the NFL, which is the only claim to fame I think that the Detroit Lions have right now as far as their. As far as their roster is concerned, as far as talented players, I mean,
I'm
right there with you. But that is, unlike many quarterbacks, I think that the offensive line is more important for Jared Goff than for the majority of the other quarterbacks in the league, which I think is something that was known by the front office of the Detroit Lions and why they made the moves that they have made thus far. and it's going to be interesting to see. And once again, I'm not very high on the Detroit Lions this season, completely honest with you, but this is a building process, and the fact that they've blown it all up and turned that into multiple first round picks over the next three seasons, plus a quarterback of the future. If he works out, and if he doesn't work out, you can get rid of him next season. It's that simple, right? So, so Goff will be playing for his job, like for the rest of this contract, to be honest with you. Because if they are in like the top five again in any part in that tenure, Goff will be the one that's the sacrificial lamb on that.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, and I think that's just football in general. I know you said like built from the outside in, but like I think you know you look at what like an expansion team would do. I mean, I always look at it that way. It's like you know they picked Tony Borsellis of the world. You know, the Mario Williamses. That's the kind of people they bring in is in the trenches. I mean, look at what they've done. They brought in a guy like Vaitai, Halapukavati Vaitai from Philadelphia. He's just there now, just on the outskirts, you know. Like, what can he do? Can he get a starting job, push for a starting job? Drake Jackson, Terrell Crosby's there, you know. I mean, these guys, Jonah Jackson, Stenberg, Kramer, you know, there's going to be that's just a physical battling camp. That's going to set the tone for the rest of the team. I think that's football, you know. I've always thought of it that way. And then it's just like everybody else, like, to sort of, you know, come in around those guys and then look good for sort of fantasy football and things like that. And that's the way it is. I mean, there's no hiding from it, I don't think. But it's like transferring that into wins. That's what it is. I mean, you've got a guy like Anzalone now from New Orleans. He's the inside linebacker. He's there as a linebacker, you know, and Kabinda, these guys, Tavai is a guy there, that linebacker. They are the players that's going to have to make the plays, and that defensive backfield, I think, is a question I got, to be honest with you, but I think it's the defensive backs, and can Jeff Okuda shut down that one side so, you know, others can play around him? That's what I want to see, you know, if that can happen. I think that's going to be their biggest issue. And like I said, this year and next year, you could probably, I don't say write them off, or put losing seasons upon them, but I think it's going to be difficult. It's definitely going to be difficult. I did like the Melifonu pick in the draft from Syracuse. He's a 6'3", 212-pound defensive back. So if they can find a place for him, then he can be good. Quinton Dunbar is a player I like as well. I like to see him do well, but it's going to be difficult for him in that backfield. But we'll see, you know, see what they can do. It's the Detroit Lions, you know, anything can happen.
All right, so we are going to move on to the Green Bay Packers next. The Packers won the division at 13-3 last year. The big win for the Green Bay Packers this offseason was being able to retain Aaron Rodgers for one quote-unquote last dance. Biggest reasons as to why the Green Bay Packers almost lost Aaron Rodgers is because of how stagnant the team is in offseason and free agency. They don't do much other than re-sign their players. Like, as far as veteran additions, Randall Cobb after Aaron Rodgers pretty much forced them to trade for him, which was honestly a pretty bad trade overall, but whatever, it made Aaron Rodgers happy. The draft was lackluster, in my opinion. I mean, Eric Stokes in the first round was a bit of a reach. I do really like Josh Myers as a center. And then finally give him a wide receiver in Amari Rodgers in round three from Clemson. It's just, I'm very, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm very underwhelmed by what they did. And this is a team that should be spending now, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers isn't getting any younger. They're not doing any spending whatsoever, either capital or draft capital, to give him the opportunity to win that. This is, and they didn't, and they also didn't ask him, you know? So,
yeah,
that was the big thing of the Aaron Rodgers, like, saga that kind of captivated me, at least, was they didn't give him any help. They didn't ask him if he wanted any help. And they're rolling out with pretty much the same starting lineup as they did last year. And when you're stagnant in the NFL, you're actually going backwards. And that is what I'm seeing in the Green Bay Packers this year. What are your thoughts on Green Bay off-season-wise?
Well, I mean, you it's a good point. I mean, you're never staying still, right? You're going backwards or forwards in this game, and I agree completely. It's a team that's owned by the fans. We know that, right? So, like, the fans are just so vocal in what's been going on. It's incredible. I mean, I follow a great show, and there's a fan called Ty Smith who buried Gunter Kunz, right, the general manager, Mark Murphy, because of the decisions they've been making since Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you drafted Jordan Love in the first round last year. I mean, if you got Aaron Rodgers for 4 years, and they've offered him the contract now of extra years, right, James, it's like they've completely contradicted their pick in the draft. But let's remember, Aaron Rodgers had to do the same thing with Brett Favre, you know, so I don't think it's necessarily going to be bad for Jordan Love sitting this long, but just completely questionable goal. I mentioned before, I know, and a few of us have mentioned, well, I heard it from somewhere that it's all the problems with Aaron Rodgers in the front office, started with Jordy Nelson, when they traded him to Green Bay. I mean, he's playing some great football. They could have brought him back. It wouldn't have hurt the cap that much. They had no reason to trade him away to Oakland, sorry. And then they go and trade probably Aaron Rodgers' best buddy and his best target to the Oakland Raiders. I mean, Rodgers is upset. He starts holding out, and then they give it a Cobb. They do the same thing. Now they brought him back. You know, there's a bit. Nobody really knows what's going on behind the scenes there, right? I mean, that's between Aaron Rodgers and the team. Matt LaFleur, the rumors that's been coming out over the offseason were just ridiculous. None of that's true. Don't believe anything really you hear on social media without any real backing, because it's probably rubbish. People just love making stories up to me when people are successful. But I think Matt LaFleur is a great head coach. Nathaniel Hackett's got his team running. You know what I mean? He's got it purring. But it can only go as far as Aaron Rodgers takes it. We saw that against Tampa. And sorry, but all offseason I thought, look, you've come that far. All you need now is a couple of pieces and you can just get past the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's see what they do. Aaron Rodgers, Shailene Woodley, they've been holidaying with Miles Teller and his missus down in Hawaii, where Miles Teller was getting jumped by people in toilets and things like that, and he's been playing golf. He's just been, like, we've actually, I've never seen anybody being followed so much during an off season for no reason. I mean, just leave the guy alone. I mean, he's on his holidays, he's on his break, he's back now, and it's like as if he's done something wrong. He's done nothing wrong. He's back in camp. He's coming on date on time. I don't know what they thought was gonna happen. Whether he was gonna run out of the country and just get lost or something. It's like, just leave him alone. Like, it's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. You should put a restraining order against the media. Like, it's just been ridiculous how much he's been followed around and put to the ringer. It's just like, I've just never seen anything like it. But yeah. So anyway, I really think now that he's back, they can sort of get their heads in it, get back to football, and you know, let's win some games. Offensively, we know they're going to be good, right? Offensively, I think, like you said, Josh Myers, Aaron Rodgers already give him the thumbs up in camp. He's been fantastic. Ohio State rookie, he said he's been fantastic. Jake Hansen from last year is another kid. That offensive line to me, you got the offensive tackle. who's been in a while. Bakhtiari. To me, he's been sort of key there for a while, you know, protecting Aaron Rodgers' blindside. There's a good team camaraderie there. But we know, like, the link between Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers is key. You know, that how often that was happening last year, nobody was able to stop it. It was just mind-boggling to me. And now you bring in Randall Cobb back, which, you know, I agree with him in many ways. It might not be the Cobb of old, but Valdez, Scantlin, St. Brown, Amari Rodgers, Lazard, all these are used to that system now. Tonyan, Sternberger, they know this system so well. And another season, I think Packers are going to be hard to stop this year. Continuity is massive in the NFL for me, and I think bringing people back to their jobs that they had last year, I think is great, and I love what they've done offensively. AJ Dillon is somebody I want to see get more carries. That kid's a beast, 6'2", 240. I don't know if you've seen his legs, but they're like two tree trunks. You know what I mean? And then you got Aaron Jones, and he's a great running back. They're gonna be fantastic. But defensively, Darnell Savage, good safety. I want to see more from him. I think they can get pressure on the quarterback, which, you know, we know they can. The Smith boys off the side. Rashawn Gary from Michigan. I think we're going to see a lot more of him this season as well. I think he's going to really push Preston Smith and both of the Smith boys really. We'll just have him in a big rotation. It's going to be great for them inside. Then the inside linebacker is just going to have to be tackling machines again as usual. But yeah, really, really good. Ty Summers, Oren Burks, those guys, you know, really putting up the tackling stats. John Runyon, I wonder who's going to start at guard. That's my question. Ben Braden's another one. John Runyon, Elton Jenkins, I think has got one penciled in. But then that other side then is Cole Van Lanen. It's kind of open, but see what happens there. Big defensive tackle. Have they got the nose to get it done? You know what I mean? Have they got the big guys up front? Kenny Clark's been doing it for years now, and can he keep going the way he's been going? I think he can. You know, it's and looking at the trenches, really, Billy Turner. That's what it's going to be for me. It's like I ain't worried about anywhere else on the field. It's just up front and in the trenches, and I think the continuity they got is it's special. I think they're going to be all right in Green Bay. And, yeah, I think they're going to win the division quite easily.
I'm not so sure they're going to win the division, especially not easily. They are a team, I think, with holes that are they're hidden by Aaron Rodgers' talent. I think, and I luckily, as an ex-Lions fan, I'm completely allowed to give Aaron Rodgers credit now. This is a team that's like teetering on the brink. Like, God forbid anything happens to Aaron Rodgers where he's out for the season, the Packers go from a 13-3 football team to a 3-13 football team. You can say that for a lot of teams, like if Patrick Mahomes goes down for the Kansas City Chiefs or whatever, but like I think it's the most massive turnaround if Aaron Rodgers leaves that team, which is what they knew that, and that's why they had to give concessions to that. With that said, I think it's time to move on to our last team, the Minnesota Vikings, a team that I am of the opinion are kind of the anti-Packers. Like, the Packers don't have a lot that's particularly good except for the quarterback, and the Vikings have everything good going for it except the quarterback. But why don't you give us your brief synopsis on what you think about the off season and for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get the old Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers type thing in my head now. I'm just thinking, like, I can see what you're saying, but I just think they've sort of built around this that continuity, right? I mean, it's look, it was just like an operation conveyor belt last year, then, right? And I know what you mean. You take away that key cog, and that conveyor belt stops working type of thing. But then, you know, in comes Jordan Love. It's a good point. Anyway, let's go on to Minnesota before the Ziggy Wolf and the Wolf family there in the northern part of America. Yeah, it's gets cold up there, right? I mean, have you been up there? I got a friend who goes back there a lot, and he says it gets really, really cold, like, fishing on ice lakes, I think. Anyway, sorry. So we got Mike Zimmer, everybody loves. So you got his son, Adam Zimmer's coaching the defense, and you got Clint Kubiak, Gary Kubiak's family, you know, coaching the offense. Offensive going to defensive coordinator. Family ties, love it. Keenan McCardell's there with the wide receivers. It's Keenan McCardell, I think, is going to be a good coach in this league. Just like the Hall of Fame things that we were talking about, though, just people that we know, you know what I mean? We know them as players now, and it's like they get into these coaching jobs. I'm just finding it all fascinating, you know what I mean? I want that receiving group to do well now just because of that. But, yeah, see what Adam Zimmer can do and see if he can emulate his father because Mike Zimmer knows football, right? I'm never going to bet against the Mike Zimmer team. Because I really like Mike Zimmer as a head coach. What he done as a defensive coordinator in Cincinnati, I think, just was unbelievable for me. I just got so much time for him, and what he's been through is incredible. But I'm gonna go use my usual MO and go from the outside looking in. Garrett Bradbury at center. Now this is where they've struggled a little bit. Is the offensive line. But then they brought in some good players. I think they might have it done. I think they might have got it. You drafted Wyatt Davis. Love Wyatt Davis. Would have been a first-round pick. Should have been a first-round pick last year, right, if he'd come out of Ohio State. Played national guy we just mentioned, Myers. Those two just so dominant in college. You watch tape. It's unbelievable. Ezra Cleveland is in his second year. He really come in and played some nice football last year at guard, Boise State. I think he's going to, those three are really going to get it done, I think. It's going to be great to watch. And then at tackle, now you've got Christian Darrisaw, who we've mentioned many times in our draft build-up. Love that pick, Virginia Tech. And you've got Brian O'Neill, who's also out of Pittsburgh, another good tackle. So I think what I just mentioned, five players that can really, if they can solidify that offensive line, a lot can happen for this team. It's like Dalvin Cook, one of the best backs in the NFL. Nobody really talks about him as being the best back, but he might be, you know what I mean? That's how good he is. He might be the best back in the NFL. I'm not saying he is. There's about three or four I prefer, but he might be. I mean, who might say, right? Kirk Cousins, where are you? We need you back. I've had arguments on this show so many times about Kirk Cousins being a starting quarterback in this league. Kirk Cousins is a starting quarterback in this league. Kirk Cousins is 32 years of age. He's played for 10 years, and he's been a starter. Watch him play at Michigan State. He can play football. He can win a championship, right? I think they got the quarterback for the job. A lot of people are going to say, no, you're not good enough. But, you know, I just think he is. A tight end, Irv Smith. We need you to play. We need more from you. And then receiver, like they've got Adam Thielen. I love Adam Thielen. KJ Osborne's a good player. Nadine player. But Justin Jefferson, there was a massive issue with him last week. A lot of people didn't know what was going to happen. He's back. Justin Jefferson's going to be a great player in this league for a long time. Sean Jefferson, you know the thing. They got players like Chad Beebe. Right, Don Beebe's son, just characters like him in the locker room. That goes a long way for me. you know, his father was just a big, massive part of the Green Bay Packers and the Aristocrats. He's the same character. I think he's going to be doing the same job there for them in our locker room. So great. The defensive side of the ball, I'm just expecting Mike Zimmer to have these boys ready to play. I mean, you know, they've always got pressure off the edge. Doesn't matter who's been there. They've always found a way to do it. Patrick Jones, right, out of Pittsburgh's there now, James Weatherly. And then you've got James Lynch from Baylor up front. I want to see more from him. Sheldon Richardson's there. You know, I only mentioned that Daniel Hunter. I think he's great at LSU. He's a pro bowler. Need him to play. I think Patrick Peterson was a great signing for them. Love Cameron Dantzler. I think Cameron Dantzler is going to be a great corner in this league. But Sean Breland can play. We've seen that winning championships. Put it all together. What have we got? I think you've got a good team. I think you've got a solid roster. Harrison Smith, one of the most underrated players on defense in this league for a long time. He's been fantastic for years. And just really good. Eric Kendricks is another one. But, you know, Anthony Barr, Troy Dye, Blake Lynch, Tough Boland. These guys, Blake Lynch and Tough Boland in college, is fantastic. Dye in college at Oregon, fantastic. Let's see what he can do in the NFL. If they can take that leap, I think they've got the special teams unit with those guys is going to be fantastic. Let's see more. Let's see if you can become starters in this league. Ryan Connolly's in out of Wisconsin from the Giants. Another tough kid. Michael Pierce comes back from COVID. He's about 350. He's going to stuff a middle. And then they bring Dalvin Tomlinson in from New York, the New York Giants. I think that's a massive move. But, Nick Vigil. They got the players. They got the people. What a competitive division it's going to be. I mean, every game is going to be great in that division. I think James is going to be really, really entertaining to watch. But D.D. Westbrook's a kid they brought in from Jacksonville. You look at Adam Thielen one side and Jefferson the other side. D.D. Westbrook, somebody that can really do some damage in the middle. So if you're going to pick up a crew of fantasy players, pick him up. Marzette, they got Blake Pro there as well. Yeah, like, you know, you look at him, you know, personnel is there. The team is there. How will they gel and how will they play? That's going to be the answer to all these questions. I'm not going to predict. I'm going to just let it play out. But the talent levels there. They got a good young nucleus on this team, and I think Mike Zimmer deserves the division, deserves the championship. But I just don't think they can beat Green Bay if Aaron Rodgers is healthy. What about you?
Sorry about that. I muted myself for a moment. I want to focus in on some specific moves that the Minnesota Vikings made this offseason that I find particularly interesting. So Riley Reiff was basically a cap casualty because at the end of the day, Kirk Cousins is a little too expensive on fully guaranteed money. So, but immediately replaced him with Christian Jarrisaw first round. This is how good teams draft. They find a major weakness that they cannot afford on their starting lineup, and they instantly replace it. They went out and made two key signings along the defensive line, which I think are huge. Dalvin Tomlinson from the New York Giants and Sheldon Richardson from the Cleveland Browns. Those two are going to solidify that middle of the defensive line heavily. These guys are both above average starters in their own right. Tomlinson was on the verge of being a Pro Bowl nod for the New York Giants. So sure. Major bonus in the free agency spending for them.
Michael Pierce coming back.
I still Pierce think Dalvin and Sheldon Richardson both get starting spots. That's just me.
I know what you're saying, but I mean, Michael Pierce is just like a run stuff in legend in Baltimore. I mean, remember, just size, it's just size, it's just huge. I think he might be the biggest player in the league. Just put that out there. He's huge.
So also Patrick Peterson no longer like the number one shutdown corner that he was, but can still add some depth to that that team. And in the draft, the second round pick is really interesting to me, and that's Kellen Mond from Texas A&M. Now he's not going to be starting year one. The last year of Kirk Cousins' contract is next year. So there is definitely room if Kellen Mond can develop into a more accurate quarterback. He is going to add another layer to that team that Kirk Cousins just isn't doing. And this is coming from a guy who really likes Kirk Cousins on most situations. But the idea that Kellen Mond adds another level to that, be it with his leg or with the long ball that Kirk Cousins doesn't really have, I think that Mond has a shot, if he can develop right, to be the quarterback of the future. Going 3 years with a rookie quarterback will just add even more capability for them to spend that free agency money in very intelligent ways like they have been doing for a very long time. One more guy, I do like Chaz Surratt that they got from the linebacker from North Carolina. Guy who's versatile, really only sets up in a 4-3. I don't see him ever transitioning to a 3-4 linebacker of any stretch, but he does do well in that role. And then Wyatt Davis is a guard that I think will eventually find his way into the starting lineup of a very good offensive line for the Minnesota Vikings. So like I said, Minnesota Vikings have a lot going for them. I think they have one of the better running backs in the league. They have a very good wide receiving core. Justin Jefferson completely balled out last year, and Adam Thielen still on the team. Dede Westbrook just adds a little more depth to that set. Amazing wide receivers. Their offensive line has gotten better with Christian Darrisaw and Wyatt Davis. And then their defensive line.
That's a big statement for two rookies. And I agree. I mean, I did say, like, I think if they can get it done, but like that's a confident statement, right? Like,
First of all, I'm a big fan of Christian Darrisaw. I'm a very big. I'm probably more of a fan of Talvin Jenkins, but Christian Darrisaw was a very, very good collegiate offensive tackle, and I think he starts right away. And the thing with offensive guards is that if you are a pure guard that has no real opportunity to make the switch to to an offensive tackle, it severely hinders your draft stock. And this is what happened with Wyatt Davis. This is also what happened with his teammate, who's on the Detroit Lions right now, also from Ohio State. Can't put my finger on the name right now, though.
I know there's a kid in Cincinnati, or they moved into God, Savankas.
This actually happens a lot with Ohio, specifically Ohio State interior offensive linemen. They're perfectly fine in their roles, but they don't get drafted high because they're not versatile enough. And this is where we're going to see Wyatt Davis kind of. I would not be surprised if both Wyatt Davis and Christian Darrisaw end up being starters by the end of the season.
Oh, I think they'll start early. I think, yeah, I agree. And I think, I'm honest, I think we might see some rookies in the Pro Bowl this year because the game isn't what it was. You know, the game has changed as well. I think Penny Sewell has got a good shot. And I think, you know, maybe Wyatt Davis or Darrisaw can get that done as well. It's going to be... Yeah, I think this is going to be a good class, like you said.
All right, but that closes the book on another episode. Thank you for joining me as always. Rodri, give us a final shout out as we close on the kitchen for another evening.
No, good show. Some interesting takes. Really, really, really interesting. Don't know, the AFC North, the NFC North, man, it's just one of those divisions, right? It's just, for years, it's been a good one. We really missed any names. Mackenzie Alexander's one, I think I would have mentioned with the Minnesota Vikings. Need more from him, too. Great coming on. Great chatting to you, bro. We've come a long way. Only a few more before the season actually starts. Looking forward to Hard Knocks this week. Looking to do some stuff with that. Lot coming from us in the kitchen as we go forward. Teamwork will make the dream work for us. We're all putting in a lot of effort, a lot of time, and a lot of thought. And it's just great to be part of it all. I'm really, really, really blessed to have you guys in my life, and I feel the brotherhood. And I love your takes. Love listening to you talk about football. All of you. You know what I mean? Everybody's bringing something to the kitchen, and it's fantastic. And, you know, long may it continue. And I really hope you enjoy the season. God bless everybody out there. Look after yourselves. Stay healthy. Be kind to each other. That's the most important thing I've got to say. Look at these Hall of Fame speeches this weekend. If it doesn't inspire you, then not much will. But God bless. Good night. Take it easy.
All right. SportsCityChefs.com. The interviews, the blogs, and the chefs. We are quickly racking up to 7 days a week here on the network. So check out all the great shows here on the Sports City Chefs Network. And until next time, I'll see you.
Sports City, chefs. Sports City, chefs. Kaboom. Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics.